Greetings this third Sunday of Easter, April 26th, 2020. It's a joy to join you through this recording. Our text today will allow us to see Jesus at work in the midst of his disciples in various times and circumstances, and we give thanks for his presence with us even this day as we are apart. Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the people. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. A reading from Psalm 116. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication, for the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from futile ways, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without defect or blemish, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. I relate to this gospel story in a new way this week than I ever have in the past. Indeed, Jesus has a way of surprising us. Jesus has a way of revealing truth to us in new and unexpected ways. As much as I love this Emmaus Road story, and I do love it, I mentioned in my Bible study notes and my email to you this past week that this is among my favorite New Testament passages. I am, how shall I say, used to this story. It's comfortable to me. I've heard it my whole life. I have it practically memorized. I might begin to think I've got it figured out, and I know exactly what it means. I've preached on it any number of times. But this week it's different. This year it's different. This week I began to notice details in the story that had eluded me in the past. Mostly I began to notice just how disorienting the time surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection must have been for his friends and followers. Cleopas and his unnamed companion are on the road to Emmaus. This takes place on the same day, Luke tells us. That is Easter evening. Cleopas and his fellow disciple have left Jerusalem and are going to a town 7 miles away on the evening of that day, Easter. The day that started with Mary Magdalene and the other women coming in a hurry and proclaiming to the other disciples that Jesus was raised from the dead. Indeed, it's the same evening on which John tells us 10 of Jesus' 11 remaining disciples were gathered behind locked doors, huddled in fear. Cleopas and his friend chose that evening to travel to Emmaus. What a strange day for a road trip. We don't know why they chose to do that. I have to wonder if they were perhaps fleeing in fear. Maybe they decided they would go and lay low in Emmaus until the whole crucifixion thing cooled down a little bit. What stands out for me this year is just this fact. Look at how confused and scattered those first disciples were. Look at the roots of the early church that were developing there on Easter and in the days that followed. These friends and followers of Jesus had not figured it all out yet. They were so moved by grief, so blinded by confusion, that they didn't even recognize Jesus himself when he came among them. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. These disciples were bound by human limitations, fear, grief, exhaustion, misunderstanding, faithlessness. But Jesus is not bound. He is not bound by death. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by space. On the same evening that he appeared in Emmaus to Cleopas and the other disciple, he also appeared to Simon Peter, Luke tells us. And John tells us he appeared to the 10 and then a week later to Thomas as well. What we see here is Jesus' gracious presence with his disciples. And he does not appear just once to one person, but over and over again in various times, places, and ways, Jesus comes among his disciples. He feeds them. He eats with them. He cares for them. He gives them peace. He opens the scriptures for them. He reminds them of his mission and identity. He breaks bread and gives it to them. He stays with them long into the evening. He opens their eyes to new realities. And he always manages to surprise them with his presence. In fact, Cleopas and his friend are so shocked by what they have seen. They get up after the sun has already gone down and traverse that 7-mile road back to Jerusalem. Their pressing business, whatever it was, could wait. Whatever fear they felt about Jerusalem vanished. They went back to proclaim to the others what they had seen and experienced. And what a surprise was waiting on them. Peter and the others had seen the Lord as well. Jesus has appeared. He is risen indeed. We see the church becoming the church, a community gathered in the name of the risen Jesus to continue his mission of love and mercy and peace in his name. Their fear doesn't stop them. The threat of death from the crowds that had killed Jesus doesn't stop them. And thanks be to God, their own slowness of heart doesn't stop them. The reason this story sounds so different to my ears this year is that we are living in fear, living in uncertainty, living in danger like we may have never experienced before. That's a big part of it. My own fears echo the fear the disciples felt in this story. My own sorrow rings true in their sorrow. But another reason it sounds so different to me this year is that Jesus has shown up among us in new ways and surprised us here and now. We too are learning new ways to experience his presence among us. Even that term, among us, takes on a new meaning in this time. You are joining me across a greater distance than normal. But remember, Jesus is not bound by death or time or space or any human limitations. Jesus is here with me now and there with you wherever you are. Thankfully, just as Jesus reached Peter in Jerusalem and Cleopas in Emmaus, Jesus reaches us wherever we are this day. And just as Jesus reached out to lead his first disciples into all truth, just as Jesus built a whole church out of that group of scared, skeptical disciples, So Jesus reaches out now to form us and to strengthen our faith. Indeed, this story sounds very different to my ears because I am realizing anew that we don't have it all figured out yet. The church may be nearly 2,000 years old, but Jesus is not finished forming us yet. We are still learning each day what it means to follow him. When I think about this story, I think of a room in my grandmother's church, the church my father grew up in as a child. That church building has a fellowship hall that they call the Emmaus Room. As a child, I thought this was a very odd name for a room in a church, but that room and its name took on special significance for me the day that we had my grandmother's funeral. The Emmaus Room was the room in which we received friends and family before the service, and it was the room in which we ate a meal together as a family after the service. That Emmaus Room was indeed for our family that day a place where our hearts burned within us as we felt the true presence of Christ in our midst, holding us close and comforting us. It was a place where we broke bread and saw Christ in our midst. And so what I want for you to think about now is this: where is Emmaus for you this week? Where is the place that Christ will be present with you in such a tangible way that you are renewed in your faith and strengthened for what lies ahead? I have a feeling this week will bring for you and for me many Emmaus moments. You may be all alone this week physically, yet Christ is with you. Your fellow sisters and brothers are with you in spirit. We lift one another up in prayer, and we worship together in this odd new way. We are reminded that we are one body, scattered now perhaps, but one in Christ. And it may be through your phone call or your card, through your gesture to a neighbor or friend, that your eyes and their eyes are opened to Christ's presence among you in new ways. Perhaps you're with family at this time, and perhaps if your family is anything like mine, you are having some truly wonderful moments, but also some trying and tiring moments. Perhaps as you break bread together this week, you can say a special prayer together, inviting Jesus to be with you. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. And perhaps in that way, your time with family will take on a new sacred dimension. Maybe you will crack open your Bible again or anew this week, whether it's to follow along with our Bible study posted each week, whether it's to read an old favorite passage, or whether it's just to start with a book of the Bible and begin to read. As you open the scriptures, perhaps your heart will burn in a new and holy way as Christ leads you and guides you into deeper faith. I invite you to think of your way this week as the way to Emmaus. To think of your interactions this week as chances to welcome Christ. I invite you to see your home or wherever you have to go or need to go or choose to go as your own Emmaus rooms, your own Emmaus places. Places where bread is shared and where Jesus is welcomed. Places where fears are alleviated. Places where faith is renewed. I urge you to be open and gracious to your neighbors in need, to each other, and most of all to our Lord Jesus, who was crucified, who died, who is risen, and who appears even now to his disciples to give us strength, to help us continue his wonderful mission of love to all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.